The significance of a name. This is part two of last week, and then I'll start a little further from this. But in the book of Proverbs, go to the middle of your Bible and go one book next to that. The middle of your Bible should be Psalms, and then you go right next to that, Psalms, and after Psalms is Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, a name. What is the significance of a name? Think about this. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Seldom, I think, do we stop to think about the meaning behind a name. Every one of us with a particular name, I remember when my wife and I were choosing a name for our daughter. We're going through all these various names, hundreds of names. What is she going to look like? What should she be? I think every parent does that. I hope. I don't know. But maybe they do. I'm pretty sure they do. And trying to find out what is the perfect name for this precious child. And understand that name. And there's some names you mention like, oh, no, they can't name that person because I know so-and-so and I don't want them associated, you know. And then there's other names like, I like them, but I don't want that name. And there's a name. When you think of a name, there's a character associated with it. There is a life lived that attaches itself to a name. There is one name in the Bible that is above every name. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, we think about God, the names of God in the Bible. There's a purpose, there's a meaning behind this name. And one of the most dynamic ways in the Bible that God chooses to reveal Himself to us is through His name. There's various names that God gives to us about Himself in the Scriptures. And with these thoughts, let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing, and we'll continue our study tonight. But I got to tell you, this is exciting. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly and gracious Father, Lord, I yield tonight to Thee. And Father, as we sang that last song, Close to Thee, Father, my heart's desire above any other desire is that every person here and watching would certainly be close to You because they have entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a time in their life when they were born again, they repented of their sins, they asked Christ to forgive them and be their Savior. And that name was no longer just a name, but the name above all other names. And they chose to make Jesus their Savior. Father, tonight as we look at Your names, as You reveal Yourself to us in the Bible, I understand that You want a relationship with us more than anything else. And You don't want anyone to perish, but have everlasting life. Father, as I preach Your precious word, I pray that You'd help me to clearly articulate the truths about who You are, because we want to know You. We don't want to just casually know You, but God, I know for myself and many here, God, we want to be so close to You. So Father, You take over, and we'll thank You for what You've done. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. The importance of understanding the names of God. In Psalm 29:2, just a little bit of review from where I spoke about last week, and then I'll pick back up where I left off last week. But in Psalm 29:2, we are to give glory to God's name. There is a name. It's not just, and this is why when individuals have a decision that they make in their casual conversations or in their work conversations, I think in our society, it is so flippant or casual about God. People have no qualms about saying, oh my, and then they say G-O-D, or they say Jesus and Christ as a curse word. I'm telling you, they don't understand that name. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The glory due unto His name. If there's someone that you love more than anything else, I'm telling you, you're not going to want to do anything to tarnish that name. You're not going to want to do anything. You wouldn't want to say one bad thing about that name. There's people in your life one of the dearest people in life for myself, my dad and my grandmother, and I think about this, that in my grandmother and just the testimony she had with Christ, my grandmother was not an educated person, but man, she taught me a lot about Jesus. I wouldn't want to use my grandmother's name and just casually throw it around. You know how there's sometimes as young kids those mama jokes and, I don't know, you know, yo mama or whatever, I don't know, those kind of jokes, but I'm telling you, we wouldn't want to do that. Many times people get greatly offended because of a mother, but why do we not get offended with God's name? The glory due unto his name. That word glory is a respect and a reverence and an awe for the one who actually created and breathed into every one of us life. Think about this. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The greatest thing that I can do in my life. This is why when churches have all these standards, we get our eyes on the standards, but I get the beauty of holiness is I want to do the standards, not for standards' sake. I want to do the standards because I want to show the beauty of my Savior as I live out my life for Him. The beauty of holiness, it is a beautiful thing when we live our lives in a manner of holiness. That idea of holiness is perfection and desire that everything I do would not bring any reproach, any scorn, any mocking against the one that I represent. And I represent Jesus Christ. And so do every one of you that know Jesus as your personal Savior. We are to encourage others to exalt His name, Psalm 34. We are to praise His name at all times. His name ought to bring, His name brings joy, Psalm 33:21, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. His name is our defense. When I'm struggling and I'm saying, Jesus, help me, Father, help me. His name is our strong tower. His name is our help. You see, when we're happy about our salvation, we will praise His name. And many a Christian, we begin to get focused on this life and the trials, and we begin to not reflect and be joyous about the name of Jesus. Picking up where we left off last week, because I have the wet zone here on my tablet, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. If you have your Bibles, turn with me here. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. A name above every name. And the very reason that people do not want to revere and humble and lift up Jesus' name, because one who is the highest of all names is the one who is the authority, and people want to be their own authority. I'll do life my way. I'll determine my destiny. Follow your heart. God never tells us to follow our heart, but He does tell us to follow Him. Because as I follow Him, He created me and knows me. He knows every one of my quirks. He knows every one of my oddities more than I even know my own weird quirks and you know, strangeness. God knows everything. As a loving Father, He knows what I need and what I can handle. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is above every name. I'm telling you, it ought not to ever come out of a Christian's mouth saying Jesus and Christ as a curse word. As blasphemy, to blaspheme is to take a name that is highly revered and just make it common, casual. I don't understand why people, when they're cursing, they don't ever say Muhammad or Buddha or any other religious leader's name. Why don't they say those names? Oh my, Buddha. They don't say that. Never have I ever heard someone say that. But I hear them all the time say Jesus and Christ and oh my, and then they say God, or they put the letters O-M, and you know the last letter. That's still blaspheming. And even Jesus came to exalt the Father, and the Father came to exalt Jesus. And John 17:6, the Bible tells us, look with me here in John 17:6. You see, Christian, when we understand who God is, I don't want to do anything to bring His name through the mud. And there was a time in my life as a Christian, and I began getting so focused on my job and focused on career progression and academic progression, and I began to walk away from the Lord and walk away from the things of this life, walk away from the things of God, and I began to do things in my life, and God broke me, realizing that I was taking His name and tarnishing it by a life that was not holy. Now, obviously, none of us are perfect. I was not perfect, and I'm still not perfect, and still growing and learning, but doing things that would draw the unbeliever to not want to believe in God. In John 17, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. He said, I have manifested thy name unto the men. Jesus here is magnifying the Father's name. You go verse 11 of the same passage of Scripture. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. You go to verse 26. The verse goes on there. I'm just kind of highlighting some things. But I have declared unto them thy name. Jesus kept declaring the Father's name because it was revered. Jesus' name is revered. In Numbers chapter 6, look with me here, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Numbers chapter 6, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Just as we do, our children will be the bearers of God's name. We receive the blessed promises, and even as we were to, you know, the idea is that my children would bear the name of God, based upon how I've interacted with them. Look with me at Romans chapter 14, verse 8. A name brings ownership or relationship. Every one of you have a surname, a last name, and that name, there is an identity. My last name is Lau. Your last name is whatever it is, like Smith. In Romans chapter 14, verse 8, a name brings ownership and relationship. Think about this. As God's child, I bear His name, which denotes or shows that I'm His and you're His if you're His child. Romans 14, 8, the Bible tells us, for whether we live in the Lord. And whether we die in the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You realize that early believers were not afraid to be associated with Christ. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, followers of Christ. That's what that means, first in Antioch. You see, it ought to be, is that word Christian, like a disciple, a follower of Christ. What I'm doing in my life, I want to imitate Jesus. And I'm not doing it because I want people to praise me. No, I want people to look at how I live my life and look at how good God is. Because the moment, again, I'm trying to bring the praises to myself on all my accolades and all my accomplishments, which are nothing, but all of these things, moment I'm doing that, I'm really trying to say, God, I don't want to be a part of you. It's like a young kid. You know how they come to the middle school year? Some kids, they come into the middle school years, and there's struggles and homes, and you know, it's kind of like, oh, mom and dad, You know, we kind of get like that sometimes. We think about Jesus. As I look back on it, and I think about, you know, even a relationship with my dad and the parents, and, you know, I love them. I care for them. The disciples said, I want to be known as one who's associated with a relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the things that happens in this name, when we are in distress, I'm so thankful that God's given me, my dad has grown so much in the Lord, and the church he's a part of is coming up to help us here in just a few days, here on the 19th or 20th. And I call my dad a lot and just chat with him. Dad always says, you can call anytime. And I'm very thankful for that. You know what? I can call on God's name, though, when I am in distress. Look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 4. And I understand for some people that's not an option. But I can tell you what is an option is there's always a perfect and real father, a perfect father, that will listen to you anytime. There are days that I still wish I could talk with my grandmother. She's with Jesus. So I go to Jesus. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 4. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies? I call on the Lord, I give him praise, and he's my defense in distress. Verse 7, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Listen here, God is never too busy to hear you. It doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter if you're in the lowest of the lowest pits on earth where no one can hear you, or you're out in the bush all by yourself, there is always an ear with God to hear you. Always. Now, he may not act the way you want him to, but there's always an ear that's listening. Look with me in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Actually, I'll read verse 11 to complete a whole sentence here, but verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set in not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You cannot call upon any other name. You can't call upon Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, Mary Baker Eddy. You can't call upon Buddha, Mahatma Gandhi, any other person. You cannot call upon their name and desire to get into eternity. You cannot do it. It says there is none other name under heaven. Well, we're all under heaven, whereby you must be saved, whereby we must. It's under the name of Jesus. It makes it easy. I don't have to go to the chip aisle and pick out 50 different flavors of God. There's one, not a flavor. It's the only way, the only truth, the choice, and it's Jesus. If you put your faith and trust in him and an acknowledgement that I'm a sinner, that I have done wrong things, and my sins are an actual offense to him. It is a wrong, it's a transgression, it's a hurt against him, and I ask him to forgive me and be my Savior. And when I do that, and I ask him to forgive me, you know what he says? Forgiven. Completely forgiven. And actually, and even further than that, he says, I see no sin. I am made perfect through the sacrificial act of Jesus Christ. And as we think about the division of God's name, if you've never accepted that name alone, and I'm not asking if you've been baptized, I'm not asking if you've gone to church, I'm not asking if you've done good things, because all of those are a rejection of the gift of Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through what name? Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's that name. And if you've never been born again, tonight is the night of today is the day of salvation. Ask Him to forgive you and be your Savior. And guess what? You're forgiven. As I draw this to a close tonight, the divisions of God's name. There's three primary names we find in the Scriptures. The first one is God or Elohim. The second is Lord or Adonai. You also find another name, Jehovah, signified by in your Bible as all capitalized, L-O-R-D, or all capitalized, G-O-D. There's some secondary names that are compounded with L, E-L in Hebrew. L is God. Almighty God, El Shaddai, Most High God, El Elyon, Everlasting God, El Olam, nine names compounded with Jehovah. There's Lord God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Kadesh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Roy. But it's from all these three primary names, God, Lord, and all caps, Lord, that we receive the rest of the names. I'd like you to look with me at Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 through 8 tonight. A little shorter message tonight as we look at the names, but I'm telling you, have you entered into relationship with God? Has His name become your name? Not that I'm becoming God, but I'm becoming associated with God because I've done what's necessary and received that gift, the personal free gift of Jesus Christ and by faith alone. Joshua chapter 7 tonight, the Bible tells us, Joshua chapter 7, verse 6, And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies." In this, we find that three names are found in the single passage. Lord, all caps. God, all caps. Lord, lowercase. And we find the names of God. God, Lord, and Lord used here. And God is used as well. In this series, a desire that we would understand the beauty of God's name. Worship Him more intimately. Praise His name more personally, because the desire is, I don't want to just know Him as a man upstairs, the big man upstairs, the divine, the deity. I don't want to know Him as that. I want to know Him personally. And when I know God and Jesus Christ personally, it fundamentally changes everything in life. April 30th, 1986, as a young boy, I knelt at my bed with my dad and I asked Jesus, forgive me and be my Savior. And from that day forward, I was His child. And it was like the weight. I was young, and you're like, you know. But I can tell you, when I got up, it was like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders, and I was free. Because I had accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I don't know if you've done that this evening, if you're watching or here, and you've never accepted Christ. I want to show you what is it that's needed to become a child of God. Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen, every one of us, we've all wronged. Every person has hurt God. When I've hurt other people, I've hurt God, every one of us. As you think about that there in Romans 3:10, as is written, "There's none righteous, no, not one." There's none that's pleasing before God. None of us are. Then you come to Romans 6:23. The Bible tells us there's a real problem. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord." What do I need to do? I need to receive the gift. Sin, you receive, you go to work, you get a penalty. You get paid at work. I hope so. When you go to work, you get paid to pay your bills and have a house and, you know, other things that you want to do. You go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Listen, while you were an enemy of God, God still says, "I forgive you." While you were an enemy, God commends, He extends His love to us. While I am an enemy of God and And then you think about this, but there's an issue. The wages of sin, I do something wrong and there's a penalty. There's death, a separation from God and an eternal separation in the place the Bible calls hell. Then there's a gift, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift, it's free. You don't do anything for it. You can't. Then you come back to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and the Bible tells us, if you've never been saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, that's Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What name is it? The Lord Jesus. You know the wonderful thing in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever, that's you or me, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. You want to know the wonderful thing? And I'll be done right here. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you, listen to this, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm telling you, it's the name of Jesus. You put your faith in him, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and my friend, God says, forgiven. Forever forgiven. He also says, son, daughter, come to daddy. You'll never be rejected. Yes, we can disappoint him, as kids can disappoint their parents, but doesn't mean we don't love them. As we think about this tonight, may we praise his holy name personally. And I trust you'd enter into relationship with him if you've never come to know Christ as your personal Savior. As the music will play for an invitation period tonight, I just trust that, number one, as a Christian, we would just say, Lord, just thank God. I'm counted as his child. If you've never, there's never a time in your life, you can't give me a Bible reason why you know that you know that you know you're God's child, I encourage you to settle that decision tonight. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I trust that Jesus died and rose again for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me, be my Savior. And God says, forgiven. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, as the invitation music plays, I trust you just call out to God, however his Spirit may have spoken to you this evening.